This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Let's talk a little Mountain West and Pac-12 settlement here. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Also, certainly a guy in the know when it comes to all things Pac-12. Kevin, you wrote about it in the Coloradoan yesterday, but it would seem that the legal battle between the two conferences is coming to an end, at least we can hope.
Yeah, who doesn't love a lot of law talk in their sport?
Oh man, it's fun. That is college sports now, isn't it?
Sadly, that's kind of true, or very true. Yeah, this has been a very prolonged, and obviously it's still not done, but a very prolonged process, really starting when the Mountain West schools, including CSU, left or announced they would leave the Mountain West to join the rebuild of the Pac-12. Not long after that, of course, the Mountain West said, well, we have all these fees that you agreed to, so we're charging you this and blah, blah, blah. The will-be Pac-12 schools sued. The Pac-12 sued. It's super complicated, but it comes down to basically the Pac-12 and the departing schools thinking that some of the poaching penalties and scheduling agreement fees for if teams did end up leaving were basically unlawful, led to a lawsuit. It's about $150 million roughly in exit penalties and fees. That's kind of at stake here. It's dragged a long time. I believe these were first signed in lawsuits were first filed in like September 2024, I think it is. So it's been a long time. But yeah, both sides have a joint statement that they've reached a tentative agreement. That's why I say it's not done yet. But yeah, I think it means we're close to a solution, and I think both sides needed that. I think the timing is not coincidental that discovery was about to happen, and probably neither side really wants some of those things to become public. So there's a solution, but I guess both sides, I would imagine, will be able to claim a quote-unquote win. We won't really know what it looks like until those numbers come out, which I think should probably be early June.
All right, Kevin, how much can you tell us, or at least, think out loud when we're talking about discovery? And I mean, I'm seeing stuff all over online about, well, there was an email allegedly that Gloria Navarez did not want to get out there. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. How much money's really in the treasure chest? Talk to me a little bit about that, because it does seem like a crazy time. And then with all the other stuff going on with the NIL world, it just seems, like you said, it's not really a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive to do. So, I mean, obviously, if this had gone to court, both sides would risk, truly losing and being on the hook for, if it's the PAC and those schools on the hook to pay a boatload of money. If it's the Mountain West, their loss would basically be they don't get that money if the court ruled it in the PAC's favor. And obviously, it's just expensive to do this. You're paying both sides have pretty high-powered lawyers, which don't come cheap. So to drag it out even further, most people, everyone I've talked to said that if it were to actually go to court, it would have gone into 2027. So that's a lot of money you're bleeding to then also risk, potentially losing a lot more. So neither side wants that. Like I say, most likely both will be able to claim victory of some sort. It's probably, there's a settlement, kind of by definition somewhere in the middle. We'll see, kind of how dramatically one way or another. But yeah, I think for a lot of reasons, logistically, financially, embarrassment-wise, probably for both sides, just good to get out, everyone sign NDAs, cash the checks however they get cashed, and move on.
Are you hearing anything like, you know, there were certain emails that were going to come out? I mean, is that a crazy? I'm just seeing stuff online and I wanted to ask you.
There's so much nonsense on social media. You know, I'm seeing so many. Basically, everyone, of course, has their sides. You know, people, you know, fans from the schools that are departing or from the remaining Pac-12 schools, you know, say, oh, you know, super obvious win, blah, blah, blah. Basically on the same side, people from the Mountain West schools say, oh, super obvious win for the Mountain West, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea. I don't know how any of these people would know that there's a email that looks bad that, you know, they had to hide. Well, I say, I don't think it's a coincidence that this comes right before discovery, but I mean, I feel like there's probably stuff on both sides that they wouldn't want to get out because, this quite clearly became quite personal, amongst everything. And I've told the story about the flyby handshake between Gloria Navarez and Amy Parsons at their Arizona Bowl a couple years ago. Like, it's not a secret that some good working relationships have become not so good working relationships.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And like you said, to summarize, you know, the Mountain West, when the Pac-12 was going to reconfigure their conference and they were taking teams along with them, the Mountain West is like, hey, not only are there exit fees, but there's poaching penalties too. And like you mentioned, both here today on the show and in your article, to remind us all, the Mountain West was seeking roughly $150 million in both exit and I guess the poaching fees. And the Pac-12 fought back on that. And so we've had this battle going back and forth for a while. If you had to guess, if we're saying Mountain West was seeking roughly $150 million from the start, where do you think we settle?
I've seen some legal analysts say that this is a broad speaking, but that these settlements you tend to get 55 cents on the dollar, roughly. So that would be about 80 some million would be the settlement. But again, that's a total guesstimate, kind of just on historical, you know, how these settlements go. Obviously, again, this one has its own uniqueness, both in just how it all happened and again, the hurt feelings of it all, for lack of a better term. If it lands in that 80-ish, I think both sides probably claim success. The PAC says, look, we paid way less than, you know, we were supposed to be on the hook for. And the Mountain West says, look, you know, we built in these contracts and we got way more than if we hadn't. And, they had just left, you know, prior to those, you know, scheduling agreement fees and everything like that. But again, that's just a guess. I think if it's below that, the PAC certainly would be, singing celebration. If it's way above that, you know, the Mountain West probably trumpeting as a huge success. But hard to know.
I get the feeling from you that it's probably going to come down somewhere in the middle where, you know, both sides feel like they not fully won, because obviously the Pac-12 in a perfect world, they're not really paying anything. And the Mountain West is getting everything. But in this scenario, it's not a perfect world. The Pac-12 is going to have to pay something, at least in the exit fees. It might be one of those situations where both teams, it just comes out to be a normal situation where teams exit a conference and it's not really crazy money, but it's still money. Both teams might win, or both conferences.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's where it's going to end up. It's not going, I don't think it's going to cripple either conference, and I don't think it's going to, you know, supercharge speed a conference from how, you know, big they want it or whatever. It just feels like, because again, with how kind of bitter it was, if it's not somewhere kind of reasonably in the middle, one side, I don't see how they would agree to it. So just logic. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not paid like a lawyer. But logic says that it'll be somewhere, you know, in that middle ground.
Is some of this also both conferences extending kind of the olive branch? Like, hey, there's a lot of changes coming. And who knows? The SEC, the Big Ten, they might be gone soon. You and I have talked about this a lot. Are we better together getting this resolved now? That way we're not doing this for the next 2 to 3 years. We can fix our sights on what we need to do to make our conferences better and put us in the best position for whatever might happen. And maybe even work together down the road again. Is there any thinking there going on between the two conferences?
Honestly, no, I don't think so. Again, I don't know for sure. I'm not in the room, but I doubt it. I think it's probably more just, I don't want to say selfish, but self-serving of, hey, it's going to hurt us to keep paying these fees to lawyers and going on and on and on. And it's hard to move forward. I mean, I've written this a lot. For CSU specifically, we don't totally know their finances because we don't know how much they're going to have to pay an extra fee.
Yeah.
And so if you're, you know, leadership, it's hard to budget for next year and the year after when you have no idea how much you're going to pay. So no, honestly, I don't think it's any kumbaya. It's just, the thing that makes most sense of both really need to start being able to move forward, and you can't move forward if you don't know what the heck you're paying.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Great stuff from you, man. You helped me so much because you simplify things for me sometimes, you know, being able to just get on here on the show, talk to us, because I know you are following this stuff so closely. There are so many different things going on in the world of college sports. We saw Ross Dellinger's stuff yesterday about $100 million in NIL not being cleared and how 75% of that was the SEC and the Big Ten. And they're now allegedly pissed off about that. Even though they helped put the CSC in place, they're like, wait a second, we can't get our monies for fakesies and, you know, pull the wool over everybody's eyes. We might just go. What do you think of all this, man?
Yeah, everyone wants guardrails until the guardrails impact them. I think that's why we're seeing such a struggle right now. Everyone agrees that this is untenable. You can't keep up at this chaotic pace that we're going at in college sports. But then as soon as a program or a conference is, you know, kind of shackled by those guardrails, they say, whoa, 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 this is absurd. Who did this to us? And then look in the mirror. So I think that's why it's so tricky. And again, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, Brady? This is why you need oversight. The NCAA is actually starting to do some things better. They're doing some things with foresight, but I think, you know, Pandora's box is definitely open. Because when it comes to the conferences to build things, they're going to build them. And then the second it restrains them, they're going to say, wow, this is really wrong and bad. We hate it.
it's wild.
Yeah, it's just a mess. And to be fair, like let's say you're an AD, your job is to serve your school, not the greater good of college athletics. So that's why they all fight back when they get shackled a little bit, because they want to win, because that's basically what their job is.
My goodness. It's the best soap opera around, man. Who needs television? I mean, need television to watch the sports, but who needs actual shows, right?
It's totally crazy. I mean, I no one knows where this is all going to land, because, you definitely feels right now like a two steps forward, three steps back situation. If there's some, I think, smart and useful things being put in, but then a lot of them get challenged really quickly, and then, you know, you kind of just go backwards a bit.
It's a lot of fun, Kevin. I'm sure you're having a blast.
Like I say, I was texting some folks yesterday with this back news, and I'm like, yeah, obviously it's not done, but I'll be happy when we can focus more on, you know, the league from a competitive standpoint rather than the leagues from a legal standpoint.
Some of it fascinates me. I really like the business of sports, Kevin, but I'm getting tired of reading article after article after article after article of a new idea put out there. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about, you know, the breaking news that comes out where it's just like, now you got to read this 20-page thing of this new proposal from this conference, this athletic director. It's too much, man. It's too much for my little brain, but I appreciate you helping us out.
No, it's difficult right now, but like I say, I think soon we're going to, at least from the PAC standpoint, be able to just focus on the league moving forward as a competitive conference rather than a legal side of it. So that's going
to
be fun.
I look forward to it. Kevin, appreciate you, man. Great work as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Actually, we might talk to him later this week, because I think we'll have a Thursday show. 11:51 the time, Michael. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up this hour. Avs trivia coming up. You want the $50 in Mr. Money Cash and a Big City Roadhouse $25 ticket? We're going to hook you up. We'll give you a shot, at least. That coming up next.
What is is the Dirty 30.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.